engaging with God's word. So let's prepare our hearts just to focus. They ask God to really speak to us and challenge us through his living word. Matthew chapter 6, and we'll start to read at verse 5. "And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites. They love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think they'll be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." And so reads God's word. There was lots and lots of excitement in the Lother household a few weeks ago when the Christmas catalogue for the Smith's toy shop arrived through the door. It arrived just before we were about to go on a long car journey, and it was brought on the car journey as well. And three girls were wrestling with this toy catalogue in the back of the car. And as we were driving, we're heading back to, I think, Sainfield to see my mum and dad. On that journey, all we could hear, Joanne and I, from the back of the car was, "I want, I want, I want." It actually reminded me of when I was the same age, because I was exactly the same. It wasn't the Smith's toy catalogue, it was the Argos catalogue. In fact, my family used to joke that it would actually be quicker for me, instead of writing a letter to Father Christmas, just send them the Argos catalogue, because I wanted pretty much everything in the toy section there. This morning, we don't want to think about a Christmas list to Father Christmas. We want to think about a prayer list. And we want to think not about our wants, what we want, but we want to think about our needs. And as we've been working our way through the Lord's Prayer, there are six petitions, six requests that are set here as a model, as an example for us in our own prayer life as well. We've looked very in close detail at the first three petitions, and the first three petitions are all God-focused. And so as we pray our way through the Lord's Prayer, we think about God's name, and we want to hallow it. We want God's name to be holy and reverenced. We thought about God's kingdom, that God's kingdom will come. And we thought, well, last week about God's will, that we will be obedient to God's will. It's all God-focused. We're now moving into the last three petitions, and they're all human-focused. So what should we ask God for? We find the answer in verse 11. This is what verse 11 says. So the first human-focused petition: give us this day our daily bread. I wonder how you feel about that petition. It seems a little bit mundane after the first three that we've prayed our way through. After praying about God's name and God's kingdom and God's will, this is just a little bit mundane that we're praying for bread. It's rather dull in comparison. You might also think a prayer like this is a wee bit self-centered. All our focus has been God, and now we're becoming inward-focused and about our needs and the things that we want. But the reality is that God cares. He cares about his name, and he cares about his kingdom, and he cares about his will, but he also cares about your physical needs as well. The essential things that you need for your life. Because who is this we're praying to? Well, the clue is in the first words of the prayer, when we pray, "Our Father." That's who we're talking to. We're talking to our Heavenly Father. A Heavenly Father who loves us, who loves us perfectly, who loves us even more than our human father. And as any father who has a real heart for their children, our Heavenly Father wants to care for us, and he wants to provide for us. He wants to care and provide for our greatest spiritual needs, but he also wants to care for our essential physical needs as well. In fact, in the Bible, you'll find lots and lots of names given to God. One of the names that we find in the Old Testament is Jehovah Jireh, and that name, that Hebrew name, means the Lord who provides. That's who our Heavenly Father is. He's the Lord who provides for all of our needs. And it's Jesus Christ himself here who teaches us to pray. And as he teaches us to pray, he teaches us to pray for old, ordinary, plain bread. It's an essential need, but our loving Father wants us to pray for it. And the real point of this sentence that we find in verse 11, "Give us this day our daily bread," is to teach us our total dependence upon God. Because who is God? God is our great heavenly provider. He's the great giver. Let's break the sentence up. Let's break it up into different groups of word. It starts off with the word give. Because everything that we have, everything that we enjoy, everything that we own is a gift from God. We are totally dependent upon Him. You want to buy a loaf of bread? What do? You pop into your car, you walk down to the local garage or supermarket, you hand over about a pound, you buy a loaf of bread. You bring it home, what do with it? Maybe you pop it into the toaster, maybe make some sandwiches, put a bit of cheese on it, put it under the grill, some of you getting hungry even at the thought about that. We don't even think about it, sure we don't. It's just a common, mundane, routine thing. But here's the reality. We are totally dependent upon God for that bread. And so often, because we have lifted the money out of our pocket, we have gone, we've lifted it off the shelf, we have popped it in the toaster, we think it's all down to us. But it's God, our Heavenly Father, who sent the rain that made that crop grow. It was God who gave the strength to the farmer who plowed the field, who sowed the seed, who reaped the harvest. It was God who gave the strength and the ability to the baker who baked that bread. It was God who gave us the strength and ability to go out and to work ourselves, to have employment, to earn the money, to go into the shop and hand the pound over so we could buy bread to provide for our family. We are totally dependent upon God. And even the bread that we eat, even the Sunday lunch that we will enjoy in a short time is all because of God's gracious provision in our lives. And often we just take it for granted, don't we? We don't even think about it. It's so common, it's so mundane. And as we don't think about it, we often forget about the giver, the great God who's provided behind everything that we have and experience in life. He has a role in all that we have. Now, there are places in the world where people are desperate. We saw a little glimpse of that in the video that Cara put up earlier. All around the world, there are people who are poor. There are people who are hungry. Even in our own society, even here in Carrickfergus, because of unfortunate circumstances, there are people who are in great physical need. Next Sunday is our Thanksgiving service. It reminds me of last year. In our Thanksgiving service, Charlie's brother Ricky came and he shared about the ministry of Storehouse and just a practical ministry involved there in the Elam Church, going out into houses, people all across Carrickfergus, people in need, bringing them furniture and things like that there. But one of the roles that Storehouse is just bringing food to people who are struggling to provide for their own family, bringing hampers to people who live just yards away from us, meters away from us. Cherith is working with Christians Against Poverty, dealing with people in financial difficulties. Because of financial difficulties, there's difficulties even putting food on the table. I was in a home in Carrick just a couple of weeks ago, just dealing with a situation, somebody looking for spiritual help. There was a lot of practical help needed there. It was great just to be in contact with Christians Against Poverty, who are now coming into that family situation as well and giving practical help. The first thing they did when they arrived is they brought a food hamper and gave food into this home as well. And maybe as you sit here this morning, maybe you're in one of those situations. Maybe life is difficult for you at the moment, just even financially, whatever circumstances you're in. And as you think about these words, maybe this is the desperate cry from your heart, because it's a real situation. Give us this day our daily bread. This is a struggle. You are thinking about it. Maybe it's the thing when you woke up this morning, it was the first thing in your mind, because you're struggling for your physical needs. What we need to realize is that we have a loving Father. If you are a child of God, you have that relationship, you have a Heavenly Father who you can pray to, a loving Heavenly Father who can meet your basic needs, who asks you to pray and can answer your prayer as well. Maybe you need to pray these words, even in desperation here this morning. No matter what our situation, we all need to pray these words. Give us this day our daily bread. Because let's be honest, most of us, we have an abundance. Our cupboards are full and our fridges are full. If we need food, we pop down to Tesco's and we fill the trolley. And as we go about our daily life with abundance and full cupboards, we forget to pray these words. Give us this day our daily bread. But by actually praying these words each day, it's a reminder. It's a reminder in our minds, and it's a reminder in our heart that everything we have, the food that we have in our cupboards and on our plate, is an everyday gift from God. It's an everyday gift from a gracious giver. And so when we remember to pray these words, give us this day our daily bread, it'll actually cause us to give thanks. It'll cause us to give thanks from the answer to those prayers, how God has already answered that prayer and all the food that we have received. I wonder, do you say grace before you eat a meal? Or maybe after a meal, give thanks for the food that you have received. Are you grateful that there is a giver who has provided all your needs? It's biblical to give thanks. In the New Testament, there are five occasions, it's recorded, where people sat down and before they ate a meal, they gave thanks and they gave thanks to God. There's a little trivia question. I wonder, can you work out those five occasions in the New Testament where people say grace and they give thanks for the food that they received? Some of you sitting here might think, that's old-fashioned. That's what my grandparents did or my parents did. We said grace, or we were taught that in school. Before we went to school dinners as a class, we gave thanks. It's not something that's old-fashioned. You know what giving thanks is before you eat a meal or after you've eaten a meal? It's spiritual maturity, because it comes from a heart of gratitude. A heart of gratitude to the great giver, the one who has given us all things, our physical needs as well. And so as we pray a prayer like this, it reminds us to be grateful and to give thanks. It's a great thing to do to teach your children as well. As you sit down to have a meal, but it's not mum and dad who have provided this meal. Yes, we may have paid for it, but everything we have is a gift from God. And so we teach our children, it is God who has provided our meal. And we don't just say grace in a little sort of rote rhyme that they learn, but we tell them the significance behind it. And we explain why we are saying grace, because we're grateful for the great giver. So the prayer goes, give us this day our daily bread. The next word is us. It doesn't say, give me this day my daily bread. So we looked earlier in this series, Jesus teaches the whole way through the Lord's Prayer to teach in the plural. You will find no singular pronouns in this prayer. We always pray, not just for ourselves, but we also include others as well. We're not like a spoilt child who comes to God and says, gimme, gimme, gimme. It's all about me, getting my wants and my desires. We're not just praying for ourselves. We're praying for others as well. We're praying for people everywhere. We're praying for the other people who live in our house, our family members. We're praying for people in our church family as well, that God would meet their needs as well. We pray for people in Carrickfergus, people who are maybe struggling, our neighbours in the street, and we're praying for people all across the world. And as we pray this line, it's not just about our physical needs, but it's a spiritual prayer as well. Because as we pray this prayer, give us collectively this day our daily bread, we're showing concern for others. And here's the incredible thing. Often we can be the answer to our own prayers. Often God uses us to be the answer to our own prayers. Give us this day our daily prayers. Because by praying these words, we're actually committing ourselves. That if God has blessed us, and he has met our needs, and he's given us an abundance, that's a wonderful opportunity. God has given us blessing to be a blessing to others. To share from our abundance and to give it to other people. Often God meets other people's needs through his own people. This week in our midweek meetings, we were studying the book of James. Lots of different people this week studying James chapter 1. A very practical book about not just being hearers of God's word, but being doers as well. In chapter 2, we find these challenging words. James writes, if a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also faith by itself is, if it does not have works, is dead. In other words, what says Timothy there, the reference is actually James. It's the wrong reference. It's James chapter 2, verses 15 through to 17. But actually, what he's saying there is, this is a sign that you're a true believer. The sign that you have a care for other people. And you just don't believe these things, but you actually do something about it, and you meet the needs of other people, that's an indicator that you're a child of God, that you have real faith in Jesus Christ. And often we can be the answer to our own prayers. And so as we pray for others, that gives us a concern to look, and where we see the need, we can meet the need as well. The reality for most of us is we're not lacking the essentials, are we? We have enough to survive. God has blessed us in many ways. And often our lives are characterized by abundance and waste. Think about the food we toss out from the fridge. Think about the things that we give away constantly. It's a real opportunity to share with other people. A Christian writer 1,700 years ago said these words, "The bread that is spoiling in your house belongs to the hungry. The shoes that are mildewing under your bed belong to those who have none. The clothes stored away in your trunk belong to those who are naked." And so as we pray this prayer, "Give us this day our daily bread," we don't just pray for ourselves, we look around and we think of other people's needs and concerns as well. And so often, those of us who have been blessed can be a blessing to others and an answer to our own prayers. We have lots of practical opportunities to do that. I mentioned the storehouse. Ricky shared with us last year. That's an ongoing thing. Sinclair's involved in that as well. There's the hamper out in the basket out in the foyer. Just a practical way to pass on food to people who are struggling here in Carrickfergus. And it's not just food that we can help with. Maybe it's clothes and furniture as well. We've also connection with the Shankill Church there and passing on, just meeting people's practical needs. We've had a great visual example here at the front of church this morning of our Christmas box appeal. What a great way. Just as you looked at that video, how could you not look at that video and be touched in your heart? As you see these children in different parts of the world, and I think about my own children and the home that they grew up in and the abundance that surrounds all of our lives. How can we not be touched by that? And think, what a little, small gesture, but just to be a blessing to people in a practical way around the world. Great opportunities to do that. Next Sunday, as we come to our Thanksgiving service, what's that about? We're giving thanks to God that He has given to us, that He has blessed us in so many ways. And because we're truly thankful, we're giving back to the God and we're giving back to those who are in need as well. And so as we support this work of Christians Against Poverty next Sunday, it's a way of being a blessing to other people who are in practical, physical needs. Sometimes we have the wrong attitude towards it. We can come a little bit smug. We're okay. We've done well for ourselves. We've worked hard. We've got a good job. We've, you know, maybe got an education. And so we deserve the money that we have. We deserve all these physical blessings and all these things that we have in our own home. There's people out there, and they're struggling at the moment. But that's their own fault, isn't it? Their own lifestyles, the choices and decisions they've made, they don't deserve it. Why should I pass on things to them? They're people who don't deserve it. Well, if we have that attitude in our hearts, you know what it shows? It shows that we haven't fully comprehended the gospel. We haven't fully understood the gospel in all its greatness and all its might. Because let's think about the gospel. And we are meant to be gospel people if we're Christians. What's the gospel all about? It's about a rich and a mighty God who's lavished blessings upon us, and He's given us all these spiritual things that we don't deserve. He's met our greatest spiritual need. He's dealt with our salvation, and He's lavished all these spiritual blessings upon us. Do we deserve anything from God? The only thing we deserve from God is judgment because of the way that we have rebelled against Him. And yet there's a loving, gracious Heavenly Father who gives all these glorious gifts, spiritual gifts and physical gifts, to people who don't deserve it. And when you grasp the gospel and you get a concept of grace and all that God has given to us, then that will manifest itself in our lives as well. And as we care for people in practical needs, as a demonstration of God's love, of the love that God has showered upon us, those kind of attitudes where people don't deserve it will be stripped away because none of us deserve it. It's all of grace and it's all of God's mercy as well. But as the prayer line continues, it moves on to this day. Give us this day. In Bible times, people lived one day at a time. There was no salary at the end of the week. You didn't have to wait till the end of the month to get your salary. Do you know when you got your salary? You got it every day. You did a day's work and you got money for it. Not a lot of money, but you got a little bit of money. That money was spent on your essential food, buying the grain, making the bread, making your food that would last you for the next day until you got the next day's salary as well. There were no fridges. No fridges or freezers. No used-by dates where things sat in the fridge for several days. You made your bread, but it was hot weather. It had to be eaten that day. If you left it overnight, it was fit for the bin and nothing else. That's the way these people, as Jesus spoke to them, would have lived. Everything was for that day. It's the same for God's people in Egypt. As they wandered through the desert after God had taken them out of Egypt and they headed towards the promised land. These people were dependent for God. They were travelers going through the desert and they needed God to meet their everyday needs. And that's how God did it for 40 years, miraculously. Every morning they would wake up and there was manna, bread from heaven that was lying on the ground. And that met their needs for the day, but they couldn't keep it. If they kept it overnight, it got spoiled. It was no fit. Wasn't fit for eating. But the next morning, they didn't have to worry about that anyway because God provided their food for that day. And what God was teaching his people as they traveled for 40 years towards the promised land was daily reliance upon God. God would provide for all their needs. And so as we pray the Lord's Prayer, we're asking God to meet our needs. We're asking him to meet our needs today, not next week, or next month, or next year, but to meet our needs on a daily basis. He actually teaches us not to worry about tomorrow, not to worry about next month or next year, but to trust the gracious Heavenly Father who will meet our needs. He actually teaches us this in the very same chapter, Matthew chapter 6. Maybe you can look down to verse 25. Let's read from there through to verse 34. Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet their heavenly Father feeds them. The point there is if God provides for the animals, how much more is he going to provide for us, his children? Are ye not more value than them? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to the span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? O you of little faith, therefore do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Don't worry about these things. Don't be anxious. Your heavenly Father knows that you need them. So pray this and put your faith and trust in a caring Father. Don't be anxious. Instead, seek first the kingdom of God. Put God first in your life and trust him to take care of your daily needs. The prayer finishes with these words. Give us this day our daily bread. What does that mean? Well, in Bible times, they had a stable diet. Bread was the stable diet. It was the essential food that kept the people alive. And today, all around the world, there will be different stable diets. In some places, it'll be rice. In other places, maybe potatoes or meat. And really, this phrase is a collective term. Daily bread is really the term for our necessary food, the basics that we need to live by. Now, it possibly covers more than that. It may cover more than just food. The other essentials that we need for life, maybe things like water and shelter as well. But as we pray this, our daily bread, it's not a prayer for extravagance. This isn't like my kids' Christmas list, I want, I want, I want. This prayer is all about our needs and not our greeds. It's a prayer about our needs and not our greeds. Jesus teaches us to ask for bread and not dessert. And the reality is, for the majority of us, we want more. We're never happy with what we've got. Even though we belong in the wealthiest 10% in the whole world, we're never often satisfied. We always want more and more. And often it's about our greeds and not our needs. We're not satisfied. Our hearts are gripped by greed. You ever jealous of what other people have? You think about your own life, the things that you have, but you're jealous about other people's possessions and their belongings. It's a sign that your heart is gripped by greed. And so you need to confess that because it's sinful. And you need to come to God and confess that sin. But you know what you also need to pray for? A great biblical word. You need to pray for contentment. Contentment is a sign of godliness. This is what 1 Timothy says. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out of the world. But if we have food and clothing, with these we will be content. That's what we need. Food and clothing, the essentials for life. Godliness, the sign of our godliness, to be content. Again, it's a sign if we have fully grasped the gospel. Who is our God? Our God is a generous God. When we come to Jesus Christ who described himself as the bread of life, he described himself after the miracle of feeding of the 5,000 when he gave bread to this huge crowd of people. And in that miracle, he fed people with bread because he cared for them. He loved these people, and he had compassion on them, and so he met their physical needs and he gave them bread and fish so they'd no longer be hungry. And the people were gripped by this, and they wanted to take Jesus Christ and they wanted to make him king because they thought this was incredible. Here was somebody who met our physical needs. He's given us physical bread to eat. Wouldn't it be great to have a king like that? But that's all that the people were interested in. They just wanted physical bread. But Jesus had come to meet their physical needs, but he had come more importantly to meet their greatest need, their spiritual needs. And so the next day, Jesus in a synagogue preached a sermon where he said, I am the bread of life. I'm the one who satisfies your deepest hunger. I'm the one who satisfies your deepest need. And that's what Jesus Christ came to do. He came to meet our greatest need on the cross, where he died in our place, and he offers us the chance of salvation and our forgiveness as well. And when people come to Jesus Christ, the one who is the bread of life, he is a generous giver. The Bible tells us that he lavishes us with spiritual blessings. He gives us more than we could ever imagine or even desire. In our home group, or I'm calling it home groups, prayer and study groups. Take me about 2 years to get into this. In our prayer and study group on a Wednesday night, we were working through the passage in James. It's a practical passage. Thinking about all that Christ has done for us. Somebody brought us to Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1 talks about all the spiritual riches, the riches that we have in Christ. He's a gracious giver. What does God do for us when we trust Jesus Christ for our Savior? It tells us in Ephesians 1, he adopts us. He doesn't leave us as an orphan outside. He brings us in to his own family. It tells us that we are redeemed. We've been set free. We've been set free from our sin. Christ redeems us. It says in Ephesians 1, we've been forgiven. Our sins are gone, never to be remembered again. He brings us into a spiritual inheritance, an eternal inheritance that waits for us in heaven. And the great phrase that is used in Ephesians 1 is, to the riches of his grace that he has lavished upon us. The riches of his grace that he's lavished upon us. As long as we have got Christ, we have the greatest treasure. That is the greatest treasure we can have in life. We don't need anything else in this life, apart from our essentials, like food and clothing, to keep us alive. Apart from that, we don't need anything else as long as we have Christ. Often we are interested in the second best, aren't we? We desire to store up treasure here on earth. We want to build and we want to accumulate. We want to meet our greeds. Jesus told a parable about that. He told about a farmer who was very successful. He must have been a hardworking man. And he stored up all his food. And when he looked at all the things he'd accumulated, he must have been quite smug and full of himself. And he came out with this phrase, let's eat, drink, and be merry. And what was Jesus' response to that person? What was God's response? He said, you're a fool. He was a fool. Why? Because he was rich materially, but he was poor spiritually. And we need to seek after the greatest riches in life, spiritual riches. So as we finish this morning, three things that we can pray for as we pray through the Lord's Prayer. Let's first of all ask for, when we pray, ask for essentials, what we need. Bring it to you, Heavenly Father, those basic things that we need to survive and live here in life. It's not unspiritual to bring our own needs to your Father. But as we pray, we don't just pray for ourselves, we pray for everybody. Give us, plural, this day our daily bread. So let's ask for our essentials. But as we pray, let's show our gratitude. Realize that God is the giver of all good gifts. He's the giver of our physical gifts, but also our greatest spiritual gifts as well. Let's be people who are full of gratitude to a gracious heavenly giver. And let's also pray for contentment, a sign of our godliness, a sign of our spirituality as well. Let's pray with contentment. Not be anxious, but trust our loving heavenly Father to meet all of our needs. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you for the challenge of your word. Your word isn't always comfortable to read. Your word is often challenging, and it puts a finger on sore points in our lives. And we pray that we would be people who pray these words. Give us this day our daily bread. It's not down to us. It's not down to what we've worked for, what we've earned. Help us to realize that all good gifts come from you, that you're behind all things. And without you, and without your grace in our lives, we would have nothing. And so we thank you for that. Help us to be people who are full of gratitude, that on a daily basis we give thanks for all the gifts that you've given to us. But help us also to be people who are content, not people whose lives are marked by greed and jealousy and a longing for more. Help us not to live foolish lives like this rich fool that Jesus Christ taught us about, but to be content with what you have given us and to seek the greatest treasure in life, which is Jesus Christ, and all the riches and all the blessings that flow from him. Help us to seek after spiritual riches and not temporary riches that will pass and which we cannot bring with us. Help us to seek first your kingdom, knowing that all these things will be added unto us. Help us, we pray, in Jesus Christ's mighty name. Amen.